This is a replay of the Tuesday night, January 28th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. But I'll start out with a warning. If you're doing anything, keep receipts. In this case, we're talking cell phones. And your carrier might have offered you a great deal to upgrade to a brand new whatever hoo-ha phone. And you've said, yeah. And all you have to do is return your phone. And you do return your phone. And then you start getting billed. In one case, for $1,733. For another case, $1,500. I guess it depends on what phone you picked. Well, what's interesting on this is that in both cases here, and I've got another case, though, where not so great, the individual had receipts. They had proof that they'd mailed it. They had proof that it was delivered. In other words, they went for the extra bucks. They not only insured it, but they got the signature request card. And bottom line is, in this case, the first case was Verizon. They wouldn't do a thing about it. They continued to bill it. They would not acknowledge that even though he had proof that Verizon received the phone, they wouldn't acknowledge it. Well, it went on. It went on for a couple of years, actually. And despite the fact that he has the shipping record showing UPS delivered the package to Verizon at 9:09 on, you know, a given date and all that, well, it turns out that after a couple of years, actually what the guy did was call one of the, you know, TV news reporters in this one of the On Your Side shows. And sure enough, on camera, the On Your Side team called Verizon, presented the exact same documentation that the guy had already provided, and voila, $1,733.45 was dropped from his account. Now, by the way, in the years of phone calls that he made, the couple of years of phone calls, he was told on many occasions, oh, yes, we're taking care of it, never to be. Finally, in some cases, to be threatened with lawsuits, and in other cases, to actually get them. Now, what's interesting is, if you're wondering, and this is fascinating, a lot of people buy a lot of things online. Over 16% of them are returned. And so what you have is a lot of retailers that are trying to combat fraud in some very unfortunate ways, as far as I'm concerned, and we might talk about that later, especially when they use a third-party database. But what they wind up doing is classifying up to 11% of the returns as fraudulent returns, and it's a crackdown, and therefore they don't pay it out. Well, unfortunately, in the process of this crackdown, there are a number of people who have, in good faith, returned something only to find out that the carrier in this case refuses to cooperate. Now, here is the deal. You've got nothing if you don't have proof that you returned it. So whatever it is, don't just take one of their labels, for instance, and just return it that way. If it's something like a carrier or what have you, you go ahead, insure the package, and get a proof of delivery so you've got that on your side. Now, at that point, when they still refuse to cooperate, you've got some recourses. For one thing, of course, contacting a consumer investigative journalist is always a good idea, but also file a report with the FCC when it's a phone or internet-related issue, that is. It won't work with other things, but for, you know, with communications, they're a good place to file, because the bottom line is the individual's going to be just doused with paperwork after that. But the big difference, like I say, and especially in some of the comments I read after this story, which was really somewhat shocking, story after story of the same thing happening to them. In some cases, 6 years later, they were still on them. They were getting lawsuits. And these are individuals who took the receipts and showed them and all of that. Well, eventually, for instance, one guy in the state of Florida, the Consumer Affairs Office helped him out. In other cases, depending on what it is, it could be the Public Utilities Commission. You know, it depends. But the bottom line is this is widespread. And the first case I talked about was Verizon, but they're not only. So especially with mobile phones, this is commonplace. So for God's sakes, if you are returning anything, make sure that you have receipts. Now, I know if you're ordering from retail giants online like Amazon, bottom line is they're going to send you a label and whatever. Here's what to do when you go to whatever store it is where you're dropping it off. Firstly, make a copy of the label that, or the barcode, however they send it, that putting on there, and staple to that the receipt of wherever it was, the UPS store, Whole Foods, whatever Amazon's using that you're willing to go, and prove that you, in fact, dropped it off. If you're going to mail it yourself, again, return receipt requested, get proof. So this is going to become more and more important because, frankly, it is a huge problem, especially for retailers. And many of them, like I say, are opting for a third party. Oh, wait until you hear this. And you will before the end of the evening. You'll also hear your requests and a number of other things. But we talked to Lisa last night. And the first thing in Monday Night Trivia, she didn't want to spoil the mood since it's an uplifting show. And she said, but I've had a horrible week. So Lisa in Dundee, let me hear all about it.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
No.
Well, last Monday, I lost my brother, who lives in Atlanta.
Oh, no.
He passed away. He was 54.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He went in the hospital on the 31st of December, and things sort of went downhill. His organs started shutting down, and was approved at one point for a liver transplant, but his prognosis wasn't very good, so he made the conscious decision to just go home and with hospice and, you know, be with his family for as long as he could.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately, he went home on Saturday and he passed on Monday.
Oh.
So he was only home for the 2 days, but he, you know, he went out the way he wanted to.
I don't blame him. Absolutely.
You know,
and
I don't either.
No.
You know, he called me on Friday, the day before he went home, and explained his decision. And, of course, we love him, and we respected his decision. He had been in the hospital that whole time, and just every day he just got a little sicker and sicker. So, you know, he went home, and that's what he wanted to do. So, but it's just it's a huge shock.
Of course it is. So when he went into the hospital, I assume that as far as you knew, the prognosis would be they'd be there for a little while and he'd be just fine.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
they had just been in New York for a week, the whole family, and they had such a great time. They came home like the day before Christmas or something, and he started having problems with some I don't want to get too graphic, but with some blood in his urine.
Right.
And so he went into the into ER, and, you know, they started testing everything. And I think he also had an infection, which they're not sure. He may have picked it up in New York. He may have had it before he went to New York, but, you know, they were aggressively treating that as well. And then just it just started to affect his organs, you know, his liver. They were concentrating on the liver at first. Then the kidneys shut down. He had to be on dialysis. And it just was just a mess. And he at one point he had a tube down his nose for a feeding tube, you know, so that he could get his medicine. And it was just awful. And, of course, I couldn't get to him. But I did have a chance to talk to him, and he and I had a wonderful relationship all along. He was born when I was almost 15, so, you know, we just there was nothing left unsaid, which, you know, is really nice. I didn't have to go into a big, you know, thing.
Absolutely, but this is such a shock because, again, here was a guy who was healthy as far as anybody knew and as far as he knew.
Yes.
So what were his initial symptoms? What drew him to the hospital?
Just that when he started to have blood in his urine.
Okay, all right. So, yeah. And that's the kind of thing, I agree, that immediately would be shocking, and to say, I got to take care of this now.
And we don't know how healthy
he was.
His liver was to begin with. You know, maybe he had some issues that he didn't know about, or, you know, men don't always go to the doctor on a real regular basis, so it's just, you know, hard to tell.
Yeah, people don't. It is not only men, a lot of women, too. People don't.
You know, you feel something and you go, oh, that'll pass, you know.
Right, right.
And,
Or you hear a story like this and say, I'll go and I'll never come out, you know, I mean.
I know. Well, it was just like a cliche, you know, he just got worse and worse every single day.
Yeah.
It was, you know, one day I could talk to him normally. A couple days later, I could barely understand him on the phone. His memories, you know, his mind started to go. He had this horrible brain fog, so they're giving him medication for that so that he would be a little bit more alert. And it was just bad.
Well, no,
all the way around.
It was a meltdown. Now, how long a period between the time he goes to the hospital and the time he comes home? How long was he in there?
He went in December 31st, and he came home on the 18th of January.
Okay. So a few weeks in. But basically what was happening while he was there was he was just shutting down, and they couldn't figure out why.
Right, right.
Now when they sent him home, what was their thinking? Basically, I assume.
Oh, well, once he refused the transplant, they just stopped all treatment and they send you home.
Really?
So that's why he got, you know, at the time they sent him home, they didn't think he'd make it more than a couple weeks. The fact that it was only 2 days really shocked all of us, you know.
There's something else that's interesting to me is normally when people need a transplant, they're on a list. And they're on a list sometimes, unfortunately, for a protracted period of time.
Exactly, which is another reason he didn't want to stay in the hospital. He didn't, you know, and when you do get a liver transplant, the recuperation period is really rough.
Well, yeah.
And besides they said maybe it would give him another year. Well, that wasn't, you know, enough. He said to me, I want more quality moments with my family. I don't want all that extra time if I'm going to be in a hospital.
Well, I agree with him there. But there are a lot of questions. I assume there is an autopsy pending. I assume you're not.
I don't think so.
Oh,
no.
I would.
Yeah,
really know.
No. My sister-in-law, you know, they took care of that. He's already been cremated.
Oh, then no. Then you'll never. Yeah. You'll never.
We'll never know exactly. We're waiting. What they said was that he had cirrhosis of the liver, not from alcohol, but there's another kind.
Well, fatty liver and all that, of course. People don't realize
and
it, but you
that
can.
I think is probably what's going to be on the death certificate.
Yeah, non-alcoholic fatty liver cirrhosis. Yeah, it's not as unusual as you might think.
No, and I mean, I've been told too, when they went out and took my gallbladder out, they said, oh, you have a fatty liver. Well, what does that mean? And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's actually got an, they call it NASH, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And, you know, it causes, well, it obviously causes a huge problem, to say the least. And it can lead to the scarring, which, of course, that's the cirrhosis and all of that. But it's interesting that he had absolutely no symptoms. And, of course, you know, it's the best thing for him all the way around because, you know, nobody's ever said, dear Lord, let me linger.
No, so, exactly.
So he got the gift of being at home, and I don't blame him. The last place I'd want to die is in the hospital. So
exactly.
He was at home. He was around people who loved him. And
that's right.
And that's the best possible scenario. But unfortunately, when I say that it's the best possible scenario for the patient, and it is, it's the worst possible scenario for the family. Of course, you don't have the time, you know, to put things in order mentally, to you know, grieve in your own way before the passing, to understand what's going on. It's just all of a sudden it's a shock. Like, how could this happen?
Right. And, every day we kept thinking, oh, he's going to get better. And then when he tells me, you know, I've decided to go home and just, you know, and then 2 days later, it's already done. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
And then I have to tell you, he passed on Monday. On Thursday, I had to put my dog down.
Oh, I'm
that
so
I've had
sorry.
For 13 years.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, it was one hell of a week
and,
last
you know,
week.
Many people don't even comprehend how gut-wrenching that is.
Oh.
You'll hear people say things like, well, it's only a dog. And
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
My answer to that is yes, and you're only an idiot.
So, exactly.
You know, because that's, unfortunately, when a loved one dies, everybody is giving their condolence. But when a pet dies, sadly, in our society, it's sort of like, well, buck it up. It's not that awful. Except it is.
It is. But I have to say, I found a very, and I've never gone through this before, but I found a very compassionate vet who came to the house.
Good.
And I just held him in my arms the whole entire time. She was here for almost an hour and a half.
Okay, good.
And so it was the process itself went very well. And it was time because he was having trouble.
Well,
but he sort of got sick at the same time my brother did. So it was like January. The whole 2025 has just been
a 1-2 punch all the way around. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, you know, dogs, of course, are animals. And animals, when you get right down to it, if they lose their physicality, the best thing that you can do is help them cross over that rainbow bridge.
He looked at me a couple times and was like, you know, help me.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I mean. Exactly.
Yeah.
It becomes very cruel when you'll extend a period of time that's very difficult for the animal. But I understand that, too, because it's very, very hard to let go. So 2025 is rotten so far for you.
So far.
I mean, this will sound trite, but the thing about endings is they also are the start of new beginnings. And so it's up to us at some point. I mean, this is the time to grieve. This isn't the time to get past it. But at some point, you look past it and you think about, you know, what it means to you and how you're going to live your life in a way that that has meaning for you.
Right. That's right. Now it's time, I think, for me to try to get a little healthier and, you know, kind of work on myself.
Yeah, and of course, you know the horrible things. It means drinking water and eating the right things and exercising. Sadly,
please don't tell me I have to eat kale.
Oh, I'll never tell you that. No.
Okay, good.
There's a number of things. You only have to eat stuff that you like, but you can't eat the stuff you really like. All right.
No, I know.
So, but I mean, it's so weird because it can make such a difference. And we often think about, you know, cures or whatever being all this, whether it's hospitalization or treatment or whatever. But the reality is if you can get your diet truly in check and if you can drink sufficient amounts of water, water is so important. And I know fish swim in it and nobody likes it, but water, you got to drink it. And exercise. You do that, and you will feel better than you think you ever could.
Yes.
So do it, and report back.
I'm going to.
But for right now, be good to yourself.
I'm going to try, and I appreciate you listening.
Oh, yeah.
I was really nervous about talking about it, but...
Grief undulates. And that's the horrible part, because just when you think it's better, the next day just hits you in the rear, you know, but it undulates. But after a time, the lows aren't as low, the highs aren't as high also, and it evens out. And so, you'll know when, but right now, this is time to be good to Lisa. Be selfish, Lisa.
I'm going to try.
All right. Good luck.
Well,
keep me posted.
Thank you so much, Raleigh.
Absolutely.
And I'll talk to you on Monday.
Looking forward to it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
So what a kick. I hate to hear that. We'll talk to Cindy. She's got requests. If it's on your mind, good. Otherwise, yeah, I will tell you about how they're tracking your returns. If you don't know, oh, man, will this be an eye-opener. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Well, I was living mighty high, not a care at all. I thought I was king. I was a habitable. That's when it all happened, my troubles I met. That's when I started playing the Russian roulette.
Russian roulette, Russian roulette, Russian roulette, Russian roulette.
The boss, he fired me, said to never come back. And my landlord says I better start in the pack. I looked for a job, there was none I could get. That's why I play a game known as Russian roulette.
Russian roulette, Russian roulette, Russian roulette, Russian roulette.
My girlfriend left me, she don't like me no more, cause the finance companies are taking my car. There'll be no more parties, so that you can bet. So I'll try it again, it's called Russian roulette.
Russian roulette, Russian roulette, Russian roulette, Russian roulette, Russian roulette.
I went into this bar to have a little drink. This other fella slugged me and I landed in the clean. A $50 fine put me deeper in debt, so I'll play it again. It's called Russian roulette.
Russian roulette, Russian roulette, Russian roulette, Russian roulette, Russian roulette.
My luck is running out, of that I've no doubt, but here's a moral to those who take this route. Now listen closely and never forget, the devil wins and
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. You're saying, what the hell? Del Weba. Yes, The Flip Side of Screwdriver, 1958 on King's X, which was a local Oklahoma City label. And yeah, Del Weba died recently, 88 years old. And it's a real passing of yet another one of radio's denizens of the early top 40 days. In fact, he was in high school when he got a job doing Teen Canteen on an Oklahoma City radio station. This was 1954. They didn't know what hit him because he was playing top 40 records and like G by the Crows and all that before anybody was, certainly in Oklahoma City. He went to college and Oklahoma City University. And got a gig at KOCY, which was big doings in Oklahoma City. This is 1957, and he's just on top of the world, and he's thinking, I got to do something to make a name for myself. And this is where, in fact, when Carol Ford, World's Best Show Prep, sent me some information, she said, didn't have too much on Del Weba. And I said, well, let me tell you about the Elvis call. And then I thought, no, better if Dale tells you about the Elvis call.
I was just a teenager starting in radio. I was trying to make a name for myself, and Elvis went into the service. This was back in 1958. He was stationed over in Germany, and I was going to try to do an interview with him and try to make a name for myself. So I found out where he was over in Germany, so I called over there, and I said, can I speak to Elvis? And they said no and hung up on me. I said, there's got to be a way I can get to him. So about an hour later, I called back over there, and I said, this is Steve Scholes, president of RCA Victor Records. I need to speak to Elvis, please. Of course, Steve was the president of RCA Victor Records, the label he recorded for. They said, just a minute, Mr. Scholes. 5 minutes later, Elvis come to the phone. I said, Elvis, please don't hang up on me. I'm just a little disc jockey here in Oklahoma City, and I want to do an interview with you, sir. He said, sure, son. So I talked to him for about 15 minutes, and he was very, very nice to me.
Yeah, often that's what it takes. I can't tell you how many times when I wanted to get a program director on the phone, and this was when I was still in, you know, high school, I would claim that it was someone from the FCC calling. Man, I not only got program directors, I got general managers. So I loved that Elvis story because I thought, man, Yeah, I relate totally to that. He left Oklahoma City, went to Wichita, came back in 1964, and that's when he went to Coma, a store station. And he was there for 3 years, a program director, did music. And the interesting thing about it, of course, WKY was really the number one top 40 station, and Coma had the signal where it could be picked up in Canada, in Mexico, but in Oklahoma City, it was number two. And so after about 3 years, he was lured to larger markets. In fact, I think the first one was CKLW in Detroit. And they didn't want him to be Dale Wiba because they thought, you know, people might know him, you know. And so they made him Johnny Morgan. But the story as it goes was, it was virtually every week or so that somebody would say, you're not Johnny Morgan, you're Dale Wiba, because he was pretty noticeable on the air. I looked for some air checks and didn't find anything quickly. From there, he went to work for Mac Richmond at WMEX and survived it. And then came back, WKY hired him that time, and they wanted to stay dominant, and they did. And he was just a giant. And along the way, he did some records, including, of course, Russian Roulette. That was early on, but there were some others as well. But he was just terrific as far as that goes. So rest in peace to Dale Wiba, and we'll never forget you. At least I won't. So 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And we'll be playing a lot of requests, Sergeant Pappy's, of course, but also, in fact, Carol kind of chuckled at this because she thought, nah, you're not going to play it. But what it is, if you'll remember, Marion Oaklawn said anything by Whitney Houston. Well, you know, there is one and only one, and I'll play it tonight. But yeah, there's one that I actually like. And she did a remake of what Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis did on an album like a decade earlier, 1978 or so. And in 1985, it became Whitney's first number one record. So we'll get that. We'll get the Waylon Jennings requests on, and all of Sergeant Pappy's wonderful stuff. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. That takes us to Cindy in Chicago. What's up tonight, Cindy?
Yeah, I forgot to listen to your show last night. I don't know why. I just fell asleep. I forgot. And then anyhow, so I'll, you know, I'm listening. But I'm listening to your show to forget about the bad stuff on the news today. I have a bunch of requests. Okay, three of them.
Okay.
Trains and boats and planes.
Yes, okay.
And bad to me, one is 1963, one is 1965. Billy Kramer.
Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas. Yeah.
Dakotas.
Right.
And then what is the other? My pen wouldn't write. I have a couple things to talk to you about. Well, one thing to talk to you about after this. But Keep Searching by Del
Shannon on Big Top. Mm-hmm. Del Shannon on Big Top. Keep Searching.
I didn't get the year. Okay. But then the other thing is, I'm going to try to get into Lutheran General and leave Resurrection Lutheran General Hospital for a doctor, and I have to wait all the way, I guess, to see that her name is Dr. Klaus.
Okay.
And she gets 5 stars.
Okay.
I'm going to get into Lutheran. I have to wait all the way till August for opening for a new patient.
Yep, that happens.
Yeah, so anyhow, the reason I'm doing this is Lutheran General is a better hospital. One thing is they changed their policy. If you got a big bill or something, your insurance wouldn't pay it, or they don't put a lien on your house anymore. That's not why, you know, what I was. But the other thing is you can't get in to see the psychiatrist at Lutheran General unless your regular MD is there.
All right, so you'll make an established patient relationship with the MD and go from there.
Yeah, but the reason that's really good, I don't know if this has ever happened to anyone else. Not too many people with bipolar call up your show, but like... Okay, I was raised with, you know, I speak up for myself now, you know, to a point. I mean, you don't want to be untimely with what you say. But anyhow, I do, you know, assert myself. But, like, if your doctors are at two different hospitals, they don't collaborate, your psychiatrist, And then, like, if you say to the psychiatrist this, he's like, oh, go to your regular MD. And then you make an appointment, and you go to your regular, I mean, it's like a ping-pong.
Right, and they say, go, yeah, no, I absolutely understand that. I would be looking for the best providers, regardless of with whom they were associated. So they wouldn't have to be together if they were really good at what they did. But when you have people who are just passing you off like that, you probably want to look for something better.
Yeah, and then the other thing, when I went to the sliding scale, you know, my mother sent me to the neighborhood place, Norwood Park Township Family Service, when I was first diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't even, I mean, if you were in crisis, you couldn't even call the doctor. They, you know, and they were getting paid, you know, your money plus money from the state, the same as, like, if they were getting paid insurance money from, like, an insurance, you know, and they don't call you back, or, you know, very bad service. They don't, maybe it's different now. But yeah, I'm going to get into Lutheran. She's got 5 stars.
Okay.
Dr. Close.
Well, good luck.
And if the psychiatrist, you know, I've never had a psychiatrist that hasn't been a quack.
Keep searching, to quote Del Shannon. They're not all quacks, you know, but you do want somebody who's got enough time to actually deal with your case rather than give you 10 minutes and you're out. So hopefully you will find somebody, but start with finding the primary care physician, and hopefully you will like her,
right,
and you'll go from there.
But then, you know, the other thing is, I've had one psychiatrist that was disbarred from the profession.
Lovely.
And then I've had one that was fired. I mean, this is like after 30 years, they find, you know. Now they said, like, if they're getting money from the state, they send people undercover to see what they're doing.
Well, just rely on your gut as much as possible. And if you feel there's a problem with a relationship, find somebody else. There's no shortage of doctors. Finding them is tough, but I think you will.
Yeah.
Start with...
Yeah, that's the thing. In Illinois, there is a shortage of psychiatrists.
Well,
they all left the state.
Well, I will say, if your primary care physician that you're going to see is as good as you think she is, and all her reviews and all that, she will be able to guide you.
Yeah, I think it'll be okay.
Good deal.
But that's it. That's okay.
Talk to you later.
Okay,
thanks.
Right.
Okay, bye. All right. So, yes, indeed. It helps to have somebody at the helm. And, you know, for many of us, we've gotten to the point that it's concierge medicine, but not everybody can afford to do that. And I more than understand it. But funny story about that talk about shortages. I was changing concierge physicians a couple of years ago. And mind you, a couple of years ago. And so I thought, well, I know Mayo has a program. I don't know if I'd be interested or not. I want to find out. And so I contacted them and they said, please contact us in the fall of 2026. Like, what? Yeah, so needless to say, they were a little booked. All right, so I moved on. All right, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Oh, we're going to get to James on the south side. In fact, one of his stories kind of juxtaposes what Cindy's saying about hospitals. A 28-year-old woman found frozen on the death of the hospital roof. All right, so that was in Waukegan, by the way. We'll talk about that and more. But right now, if you're listening to the show, I know you love radio. Have you seen the CC Skywave Radio 2? Go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. The thing about this catalog is it's not only great products, it's great information, and the one commonality that every radio that Bob Crane has developed has is they all have just flat-out superior reception. Yeah, the kind you've been dreaming about since the days of the Royal 265s in the early 60s. Yes, indeed, these all have terrific reception. But all of them have a number of other features as well, and the CC Skywave 2 is a pretty amazing little radio. It will ensure your preparedness for unexpected extreme weather conditions that can lead to power outages. It's got a distinctive alarm. It alerts you when NOAA issues a warning, and it provides advance notice of potential problems. But the other thing is you not only have AM, FM, and weather, but you've also got short wave. And thanks to the enhanced capabilities amid high solar activity, which we're having this year, you can experience the benefit of excellent reception on shortwave, and that's a lot of fun. You will stay informed during various conditions. It's ideal for travel. Why? It's also got the aviation band, so you can listen to nearby pilots or air traffic controllers as well. And it's got presets and a digital readout and a clock and an alarm and a timer. And it operates on two AA batteries for up to 70 hours. It makes it a great pocket-sized travel companion. Go to ccradio.com and check it out, the CC SkyWave Radio 2. But if you can't go online, all is not lost. They've got the best customer service. You can call them. That's 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. 24 hours a day, they'll answer your questions. You can order it by phone. Or if you just want them to send you a hard copy of the catalog, they'll do that too. So whether you're calling 800-522-8863 or going to ccradio.com, either way, you look at that CC SkyWave Radio 2. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Exactly what you're trying to do. You want me to want you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That might be as close to a perfect record as I think I've heard. I just love it. And it was a Sergeant Pappy who wanted to hear it. The Heartbeats, I Won't Be the Fool Anymore, 1957 on Rama. And Shep Shepherd, of course, who later Shep in the Limelights, wrote it and co-wrote it and, of course, sung lead. And he was so terrific. But man, I tell you, yeah, talk about alcohol abuse and not a nice guy when it would occur. So that was his own undoing. But yeah, when he was murdered, and I believe it was murder, no one was terribly surprised. But he at least left us the legacy of, you know, 1,000 miles away, of course. But yeah, I Won't Be the Fool Anymore. That's the one that I love. All right. So I Want to Know is good, too. And yeah, we could go on and on. But we'll go to James on the South Side. So, all right, James, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you?
Well, better than some of these hospital patients in Chicago, let me tell you what. So you gave
Yeah,
we won't mention the particular hospital, but it's in Waukegan, and it's a well-known medical center, where a 28-year-old patient dressed only in her medical gown was found unresponsive on the roof and died of hypothermia. She froze to death atop of this hospital. And there are a lot of questions. She was admitted at 4 in the morning last Wednesday. They say for an unspecified issue, but I've read in other places her brother said it was for alcohol. And she was noted missing the next morning at 2 a.m. and found dead on the roof 7 hours later. And so she spent 14 hours, the staff spent 14 hours trying to resuscitate her before they actually called anybody, well, it was too late. But there are so many questions about this. How did she get to the roof, number one?
And I'm like wondering, okay, what happened to the night nurse or the person, usually somebody who usually comes through?
Of course. Well, that's the next question, of course, is how can it be hours that they don't know she's missing from the room?
Yeah, I mean, I find that disturbing right there.
Oh, tremendously so. And the coroner did not mince words about this particular facility, and you know, pretty much said that it was not that unusual to her way of thinking, from what else she'd seen. But the hospital themselves said that no, they are absolutely preserving everything, and they'll go along with any investigation, and nothing will be overwritten or deleted. But I can't imagine how on earth can you be up there 7 hours freezing to death. I mean, missing from your room hours before that, and nobody notices?
Yeah, and then, of course, the doors. Okay.
Right.
You would figure that if you open a door going up someplace that you're not supposed to be, that it should give off an alarm or give something off.
Right, the alarm, it should be locked. But the other thing, the horrifying thing, is it's possible, and who knows, that she could open that door, but once she was out on that roof, she couldn't get back in. You see, a lot of doors are like that. You know, you can get out, but you're not going to get back. So there's so many questions here. And what I'm very glad is, thanks to the coroner, there's going to be a real investigation and we'll get some answers. But holy, you don't think of 28-year-old patients dressed only in the hospital gown, freezing to death on the roof of the hospital.
Yeah.
All right, hang on. We've got so many more stories to cover. Don't go away. All right, so yes, but it gets worse and worse. And then we'll get to Eduardo in Tampa, Christopher Walken. Okay, why not? And whatever's on your mind coming up. And yes, I haven't forgotten about that third-party company that tracks your returns. Oh, yeah, you may be in a database you didn't even know existed. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Everybody knows you've been stepping on my toes, and I'm getting pretty tired of it. You keep a stepping out of line and a messing with my mind. If you had any sense, you'd quit. 'Cause ever since you were a little bitty teeny girl, said I was the only man in this whole world. Now you better do some thinking, then you'll find you got the only daddy that'll walk the line. I keep a working every day, all you wanna do is play. I'm tired of staying out all night. I'm a coming unglued from your funny little moods. Now honey, baby, that ain't right. 'Cause ever since you were a little bitty teeny girl, you said I was the only man in this whole world. Now you better do some thinking, then you'll find you got the only daddy that'll walk the line.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, that is my favorite Waylon Jennings record all the way around. And yes, I will play World of Surprise, which is how we started this. Boyer in Nashville wanted to hear that, but had to get in Only Daddy That'll Walk the Line. Recorded 1968, RCA, Chet Atkins produced it, and some of the best session players. Wayne Moss was on electric guitar, and Pig Robbins was on piano, and Charlie McCoy, guitar, harmonica, and vibraphone. Ray Stevens was trumpet, by the way, and also some harmony vocals on that, and more. So, Jerry Carrigan on drums. So, truly, all-star cast on April 16th, 1968 at RCA. All right, 888-876-5593. We're talking with James on the South Side, and yes, we've got a plethora of stories. No reason to stop there. We have other freezing. This one, not a death, but a Chicago daycare worker leaving a 4-year-old child in the trash after leaving him out in a freezing alley. And yeah, apparently this family had three or four kids in this daycare. And needless to say, this was in Homewood. The daycare worker is facing charges for leaving the boy in the freezing alley before placing him in a trash can as punishment in front of all the other kids. Temperatures were 19 degrees this month, and apparently January 13th is when it happened. And so what'd the kid do? What'd this 4-year-old do to be put in the trash? He was in a corridor outside the facility because he refused to nap. And so for refusing to nap, she drags him outside, leaves him outside in the freezing cold, drags him back in, but instead of resolving the situation calmly, she puts the child into an empty garbage bin in full view of other children and staff. By the way, you really wonder why the staff didn't say anything, but meanwhile, the boy's parents became aware when they picked him up later the day. They reported it to police, and there was surveillance footage, so it can't be said, well, the kid's making this up. No, this is just horrifying, and so they've withdrawn their children. But yeah, talk about breaking a trust when you're forced to use daycare. Maybe it's two working parents. You don't expect that.
Yeah, and you would think, okay, you're being seen by your staff, then your fellow staff. You're being videotaped, and you still do it.
Well, and why didn't the staff speak up?
You want to know? Maybe it's okay. There's something that's been basically maybe this particular was quote unquote the alpha staff member, and basically pretty much everybody was afraid to basically ruffle her feathers or something like that.
Yeah, whatever. Absolutely. No one had the courage to step up, but the parents saw the tape, and I can only imagine the horror and the guilt they feel. And not that they necessarily should feel the guilt, but they're not.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they haven't headed for a good lawyer.
Oh, they have. They have. They absolutely have. That's in the story as well. They are absolutely evaluating their legal options, so to speak. You betcha they're going to do that. Now, meanwhile, as bad as it might get in Illinois, Battle Creek takes the winning role for today, as far as I'm concerned. The 5-year-old boy in Michigan who is now in Child Protective Services. So here we have officers. Yeah, uniformed police officers arriving at the 5-year-old's home in Battle Creek. And as this was Saturday, they were going to be serving a subpoena. When the child first answered the door, he had a large knife in his hand. And a cadet then told the child please ask your parent to come to the door. So the child disappears with the knife for a few moments, then returns with a loaded gun. At that point, the police cadet disarmed the child. But police officers later responded to the address. What do you mean later responded? I guess they called patrol officers on top of it and found 2 adult males, 1 adult female inside who have been detained. Obviously, 5 children ranging in age from 6 months to 8 years were turned over to CPS as a result of the quote-unquote handgun incident. And one child was transported to a hospital in Kalamazoo because of health concerns. And the deal is, the reason they were showing up to issue a subpoena and all that, the home had been condemned by code compliance and they weren't supposed to be living in it. And as far as how the 5-year-old, A, got a hold of the knife, but B, got a hold of the loaded handgun is still not known. So just amazing to me.
Yeah, when I read it, I thought, and the woman apparently in there is the one who's the mother of these children.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And apparently she had left one place because the father of at least of some of these kids had thrown this stuff into the snow.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, this was a domestic disturbance, to say the least. But the fact that the kid, the 5-year-old, is comfortable, A, with a knife and with a gun, tells me that this wasn't the first time the kid had been, been around these kind of weapons. And normally I would err on the side of supporting the parents, not CPS. But this is one where get those kids out of there as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and basically, now with the mother, you either say you got to choose either some better ones, the father figures, or we just might as well just simply leave you out of the equation as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it'll hopefully will be tough for her to show that she can, in fact, care for these children. Now, her father is in the act, and he wants to, take some responsibility, too, and all that, but regardless, when I read a 5-year-old is carrying a loaded handgun, the what? Then we'll close.
I'm scared. Yeah. I'm thinking, what? I mean, when you figure dexterity. I mean, I'm like, okay, this is very scary. I mean, and you're like, I'm figuring this kid is scarred mentally already.
Oh, absolutely. Now, we've got one more while we're talking about hospitals and parents and all that. In this case, we're talking Indianapolis, where a 13-year-old girl was admitted to a hospital suffering from a mental health crisis, whatever that might mean. And it was following a heated exchange with her mother. And when the hospital called the mother to pick her up, she basically said, I'm not dealing with this stuff tonight, only she didn't say stuff. And meanwhile, both she and the girl's stepfather have been arrested. The girl arrived at St. Vincent's in Indianapolis for a mental health evaluation, and she and the mother had engaged in an argument that had been lasting from Saturday night to Sunday morning. And after being evaluated, hospital staff members attempted to contact the mother and the stepfather so they could pick up their daughter once she was discharged, and they refused to pick her up. Moreover, the staff member said that both parents were drunk during the conversation, you know, audibly drunk as far as that goes. And so a social worker attempted to intervene, and all the parents did was hang up. We don't want her back. Not dealing with this. So apparently after the refusals to pick her up, well, guess what? Here comes Child Protective Services. Police actually arrive at the parents' house and find both the mother and the stepfather heavily intoxicated. In fact, they were drinking to the point of passing out while the girl was being mentally evaluated at St. Vincent's. And not only that, they then lied to the police about their uncooperative and hostile conversations with the staff members. And of course, you know that's on tape. And so eventually the officers arrested them. So I have no idea, because what the story doesn't say, what happened to the kid?
Yeah, that's I couldn't find anything else. I said, oh, boy.
Right, exactly. Well, I hope she's out of that home for good.
Yeah, that's a kid who doesn't need to go there. I mean, an argument that lasts from Saturday, I'm not thinking, right. Okay, now.
This isn't parenting.
Yeah, this isn't.
This is not parenting.
This is parenting, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I couldn't, okay, unfortunately, too many eggs, okay, about egg prices.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't even want to go there. But we will, probably tomorrow night, record high at the moment. But we'll see how that goes. But as always, thank you for all the stories, and we'll talk to you soon.
And we won't talk about the lady who got chiffed out of $700,000
for life. Yeah, we might at some point. But what I will say about her is, you know, maybe there should be criminal penalties for abject stupidity. When you hear how she lost that money, you really have to ask yourself, how is this woman breathing on her own?
Yeah, I'm like thinking, yeah. Right. Okay, they talk, I mean, even the at the place where she was buying it, said, why are you getting this for?
Oh, no, absolutely. We'll go over all that.
And I think it's too much of this. Everybody's saying, oh, invest in gold. And I'm like thinking, there's a limited amount of gold. It's not like it's just coming out of the ground regularly.
Well, and, you know, the other thing is most people who are investing in gold absolutely aren't buying the metal anyway. And that's another story that's horrible. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay, right. You have a good evening.
All right.
A good job, and it's feeling better, and that gym's feeling better.
Yeah, okay. And,
yeah, I hope, your first call was the second call, actually feels better soon. I'm sorry for her loss.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll watch over her, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, James.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
So, yes, indeed. No, it was absolute total stupidity when you hear some of these stories that just really, really make you wonder. But I am a believer in gold if you buy from the right people. But the thing is, you got to take possession of the metal. And when you look at the markets, more gold trades every day, you know, options, futures on paper than exists in the universe. So when you're worrying about prices or all, keep that in mind. All right. Well, enough of that. That's almost serious. We're going to talk to Marie in Kenosha. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Glad you did.
I just wanted to let you know that when you were talking about, I can name the hospital in Waukegan.
I can too, but I didn't.
You don't.
Yeah, I really didn't want to.
All right, then.
Because here's the deal.
Okay, but
After the results of this, I'll be happy to. But at this point, there are still questions, and what we know so far is so damning that I don't want to mention that. And I mean, as far as them talking about a faulty door or whatever, that door should have never been unlocked. That door should have had all sorts of alarms and everything like that. And especially if it was locked, you know, easy to get from the inside and impossible to get from the outside, somebody should hang for that.
And I think I remember hearing the news report, because here in Kenosha, I can hear the Chicago station very easily on my radio. And in the morning, I always tune in to two or three of the different stations to get AM stations, particularly, well, this one is one of them, to get some news. And I think they played an audio of the coroner. And I think I remember her saying that it was a door that she couldn't come back in, or that the coroner knows that there are doors like that at the hospital.
In that facility, And the thing is, if you have a door like that, then there should be no way that a patient could access it and get out. And that's the real real question. So I know the coroner's out for blood. So we'll see what happens, and then depending on how it comes out, of course we'll name them. But at this point, I'm you know, I'm at least offering them the ability that maybe, just maybe, there's more to the story. But yeah, I wouldn't go there, I'll tell you that.
No, and it's been years that I've kind of heard rumors. Kind of whispers, or I mean, just that's not necessarily a great hospital to go to.
Oh, yeah. And we all know them, whatever area in which we're living. We all know a few of them. And sometimes it's because major corporations own them, and the way they're managing them is not not really for the patient's best interest. Other times it's just plumb stupidity. You know, it can go either way. So, we have one near us. And years ago, Mayo said, you know, don't quote us. So, of course, I'm quoting them, you know that. And they said, if something is wrong, take your chances on Highway 60 getting here. Don't stop there. Okay, that's all I need to hear.
In other words, pass them up and go to the next one.
Well, right. Even though it's 2 hours away.
I mean,
the only good that hospital does is Life Flight. And they do like 10 flights a day. But that's about it.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, but that's rural America, unfortunately. All right, good deal. Well, I'm glad you called, Marie. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon, I hope.
Yes, okay. And I'm listening, so thank you.
Good deal. Thanks, Marie. All right, so I love that. 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. Ah, we've got Kevin, we've got Eduardo, we've got you, hopefully, on WGN Radio.
I'm not here to forget you, I'm here to recall the things we used to say and do. I don't want to get over you, I don't want to get over you. I haunt the same places we used to go, alone at a table for two. I don't want to get over you, I don't want to get over. They ought to give me the word of surprise, all the silver I let slide down the slot. Playing those songs sung blue, help me remember you. I don't want to get over you. Roll a quarter, same old song, missing you through and through. I don't want to get over you.
WGN. radio on Raleigh James. So that's the one that Boyer in Nashville wanted to hear, September 1977 on RCA. And actually, it was Chip's Moment and Bobby Emmons who wrote that. And they also wrote Looking Back Texas and some other stuff as well. And that was the first single from the Waylon and Willie album. And it was Jennings' sixth number one on the country chart. So that's the deal. And I think Casey Musgraves also had it out. But nice, fine, but I thought only Daddy That'll Walk the Line was the record. All right, so with that in mind, let's see. We're going to find out what's going on in the world at large. Then we got Kevin, we got Eduardo, we got Cindy, and I hope we have you on WGN Radio. Song that I actually like a lot. Her first number one, 1985, Saving All My Love for You. And actually, the first time I encountered that song was the first time it had been recorded. Now, firstly, it helps that Jerry Goffin wrote the lyrics, and it was Michael Masser who did the music. They did a lot of things together. And Michael Masser also did some things with Linda Creed and all that. But anyway, it was originally on an album that Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis did, Marilyn and Billy, in 1978. And it was just an album cut, so it didn't go anywhere. But arguably, I think that I hate to say it, but Whitney's version might be better. Here was the original.
A few stolen moments is all that we share. You've got your family and they you there. Oh, I've tried to resist being last on your list, but no
I wish they had released it as a single, but they didn't. They almost didn't release the Whitney Houston as a single, which, as I say, was her breakout song, her first number one and international and all that. And what had happened was Michael Masser had written The Greatest Love of All, which Whitney loved, one of her favorite records. And Clive Davis had invited Masser to a performance that kind of a showcase that Arista was doing. And when Whitney realized he was there, and she's, oh man, that's like my all-time favorite record and all that. And so Clive put her together with Michael Masser. In fact, he produced the first album. And of course, Saving All My Love for You was on there. And so the first single was You Give Good Love, which you know, was okay. But at that point, Masser thought, well, Saving All My Love for You is next. accept. Masser heard that, no, they're not going to do that, because Clive Davis had intervened and said that, you know, he thought the lyrics and all that, that wasn't the way to go. And, you know, because obviously it's a cheating song, right? And so Masser made a deal, a bet with Clive Davis. They were at the Roxy in Los Angeles, and he said, look, to see Whitney Houston, who was performing there. If all the women get up on their feet when Houston sings Saving All My Love for You, then you agree that that's the next single. So Davis figured, well, this is an easy bet. He bet. Well, needless to say, the women did, and the song was released as the second single in the United States, third single worldwide, and it was just terrific. So like I say, that's one. Now, I looked for more, and I'm sorry to say there is absolutely no other Whitney Houston record I'm willing to play because I just don't like them. It's the songs, not her. But I thought that one was great. So there was one anyway, right? Okay. And the reason, you'll remember that last night we had a call from Mary in Oak Lawn, and she said I could play anything by Whitney Houston. And I thought, there's nothing I could play by Whitney Houston. And I remembered, oh, no, Saving All My Love, I'll play that. She wanted Taylor Dane, too. I'm thinking about it. All right, so...
What about Like a Rock? That's a great song.
Yeah, John likes Like a Rock. All right, and I admit it's not terrible, but I don't think I'll be playing it.
She has such a great voice.
Well, she does have a great voice, but...
How could she not be a star?
I know, but the problem is, again, the songs that they chose, all those ballads, for the most part, other than Saving All My Love for You, the rest of them are like, gag me.
Yeah, there should be hundreds.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyway, but yeah, Like a Rock, maybe. I'll consider it. All right, so what do we have here? Kevin is in Colorado Springs. What's up, Kevin?
Well, you told me to call back tonight, so I did.
So...
Yeah, I played a lot of those Whitney Houston songs when I was at KKLI because we got our music from Century 21.
Yeah, yes.
So, yeah, and they were all on CD, and oh yeah, I remember playing them all.
Oh God!
But yeah, I know. Anyway, somebody was talking. I don't remember what they were talking about a while ago, but I think. Being forced out of my house would have fit right in with your previous conversation.
Oh, God.
This was probably November 24th, something like that. And my soon-to-be ex-wife and I were having issues. And I thought, well, I'll just go and put on a pair of headphones and listen to some music on my mixer so that I won't bother her. And the next thing I knew, my stepdaughter was tapping me on the shoulder saying, you need to get out of here. I'm taking you to a hotel. And I'm like, well, why? And she had a friend named Casey who worked at a psych hospital in New Brighton.
Uh-huh.
And Casey said, well, you're not mentally healthy enough to be around each other. So you need to leave. So I packed a suitcase as quickly as possible and stayed at the Beaver Hotel, Beaver 8 Hotel.
Oh, God, I can only imagine.
Well, it wasn't bad. I was there from Friday night until Monday morning. Lynn's son, Harold, flew in on Sunday to fly with me to Chicago, and then he saw that I got on the right plane to go out to Colorado Springs. Now, the way that worked out was, I guess Harold had called Valerie, my sister, and Valerie called me and wanted to know what was going on, so I gave her the Reader's Digest version of it. And she said, well, I'll call Harold on tomorrow. So she called Harold, Lynn's son, and it was decided that the best thing for me to do was go out to Colorado Springs, which is where I am. Divorce will be final, I believe, in late May, early June.
Okay, now, I got some questions. How long were you married?
17 years.
17 years. All right. When did you first realize that there was going to be some disharmony in the relationship? Don't tell me 16 and a half years ago. But
yeah. I actually realized it... early in this past year, she was really, nagging me about the money I spent. Of course, I paid the bills, but I spent some money on Beatles things that I found. I'm a huge Beatles fan, and on. And she said, well, you need to save your money, yada, yada, yada. And that was pretty much the straw that broke the camel's back. I can't figure out why, because, you know, I always paid my bills and there was no problem. But apparently she figured out that there was a problem. And so, and I think we had started to kind of drift away from one another. One of the things that she had told me in our arguments was, you're not the same Kevin as you used to be. And I'm like, Lynn, people change. We don't stay the same. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not the same Kevin I used to be, but what do you want me to do?
Well, my question would be, in what way specifically does she think you changed? You know?
Yeah. She thinks that I was not as communicative as I used to be with her.
Okay.
That was probably the biggest point. And I was like spending, you know, the money for me. And I mean, there were things that I did want. And so,
yeah, but see, that money thing to me is a symptom. That's not the deal. That's a symptom.
Yeah.
You really wonder what she's going through, that she's managed to put it on you to basically say, yeah, this relationship is why I'm not happy. Of course, she'll find out after she's divorced that she'll still be unhappy, and then she'll have to have another target. But when you have your stepdaughter saying you need to leave the house because it's not safe, I mean, this is not someone you're having a conversation with. This is somebody who'll come at you with a frying pan. So, it's just amazing to me that it deteriorated to that point. But ultimately, thank God you're out of it and you're safe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm clear out here in Colorado Springs, and lawyers have said don't talk to one another.
No, they never do.
So,
that's fine.
Well, I'm letting the lawyers do the haggling. You know, they'll figure it out.
Well, right. And do you have any children in common?
No.
Okay. So there's just some assets there, which they can argue about. But
well, one thing I'm really adamant about is I want all of my stuff that got left in New Brighton.
Of course.
I have a huge CD collection, which I don't want to lose. A large Beatles collection.
No.
And
the only reason she'd want it is for spite anyway, as far as that goes. So,
well, she told me, she said, I don't want your CDs and stuff. I said, well, then fine, let me have them.
Right.
And she wrote, I got a letter from her attorney saying, well, if you sign this, then
she'll
get the house and you'll get all your stuff.
No.
But my sister said, yeah, I don't know about that.
Right, exactly. So they'll work it out.
See.
Exactly.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
You're blind, is she?
She's partially sighted.
Partially sighted,
she's
okay.
She's got one eye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is she working?
No, but she does volunteer at the Lighthouse for the blind, and she does a lot with technology. And, you know, it's a sad situation because, she did call me before we stopped talking and said, you know, I really miss you. And I'm like, well, should have thought of that before you tossed me out.
Right. Well, exactly. No, obviously she's going through a lot, and the casualty is the relationship. But you're, of course, better off. But how old are you guys?
I'm 73 and she is 70.
Okay. Yeah,
we're not that far.
Right. This shouldn't be too difficult to split, and you'll get your CDs and all that.
Oh yeah, I'm sure I am. But you know, it's a sad situation.
Of course it is.
When I got here, I was just really depressed. So,
of course. Well, and shocked.
I'm on antidepressants.
I mean, you know, that's a real shock. You know, when you don't think anything has devolved to that position, and next thing you know, you're being escorted out of your house.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an experience I really don't want to go through again.
No, and you won't have to, as far as that goes.
Nope.
And you know, once the dust has cleared, I really do think that 2025 will be a year of beginnings, endings, and beginnings, and that's a good thing. So better to know it now than if you were in a health situation where you were fully dependent upon her.
Well, that was one of the issues. I do have some health issues at 73. Heart is probably the main health issue, and she was concerned that my health issues would deplete her assets. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, right there, that kind of tells you all you need to know.
Yep, exactly. I was really surprised when I heard that. I'm like, oh me, oh my. Okay.
All right. Well, she put a dollar value on the relationship. Very good.
Yeah, cha-ching.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, you'll be much better off. Yeah, thanks for the story. Keep me posted on how you're doing, and especially when you get your own place, I want to hear all about it.
I will.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right.
Bye.
What a sad situation. Yeah, but like I say, sounds like a very unhappy person, and sounds like that she will be even more so after she realizes that Kevin wasn't the demon. Yeah, wasn't the cause of her unhappiness. All right. Yeah, that's a sticky wicket all the way around. So 888-876-5593, Eduardo, Cindy, and hopefully you on WGN Radio.
Oh, oh, oh.
Why do you have to go? The night is still
young yet.
And darling, I'd like to know if our love is the night is still
young yet.
You know I'm at your command. Won't you give me a chance? We have had lots of quarrels, and tomorrow would only bring sorrow. That's why I love you so. Believe me, you should know. Why'd you have to go? The night is still
young.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And let's see, we've got Eduardo, who's been hanging on for a while. We're also going to Boyer from Nashville. Hang on there, Boyer. Don't go away this time. Eduardo in Tampa, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, good evening, Raleigh. I got an appointment for my primary doctor Friday, but I thought I'd bring this up before I get into Christopher Walken going tech-free. On my right knee, there's like a lump. On my right knee.
Okay.
There's no like color or dark color or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
There's no pain or anything like that. So.
Okay, so it's just a lump, and is it actually on the kneecap or is it on the side of the knee? Where is it?
It's on the kneecap. Yeah, I'm gonna say it's in the front. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully it's absolutely nothing. But I think you're right in going. How long have you had it?
I haven't really paid it too much attention to it, probably till today. But I did look up a remedy book, and there's nothing to be alarmed with what they're saying,
yeah.
But something that could be done in the office where they drain it, I guess.
Well, it depends. If it's a cyst or something like that, it could also be bursitis. You know, the bursa, the sac is in front of the kneecap, and if it becomes inflamed, you could see something that you would, you would say that. Is it sort of like an egg shape, the bump?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. That to me, that sounds like an inflamed bursa. So now you're going to have to go to the doctor and tell me if I'm right.
Yeah, I'll let you know next week when I go Friday. Yeah.
But no, all of them, like if it's a cyst, same deal. You know, even if it's a lipoma, remember, lipoma, even though people say tumor, it's non-cancerous, and it's just a fatty mm-hmm. tissue growth. But from what you're saying, my bet, and God knows I don't know, I don't trust a disc jockey who talks too much, get mm-hmm. a real doctor, which you're going to do, but I'd go for an inflamed bursa.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as long as it doesn't hurt, that's the.
No. Yeah. There's no pain. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no color. No pain. Yeah.
So we're not worried about arthritis and things like that. So this is good.
Yeah. 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 But I'll let you know next week. So going on to Christopher Watkins, so you can get to the other callers. So pretty interesting. This guy does an email, no cell phone, just has like a dish on his roof. They had to send him like DVDs for a TV series.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of lives old-fashioned.
Well, look at his age. You know, this is a man who's 81 years old. And
right.
So most of his life he did without those devices. And there's a lot of reasons people don't embrace them, including just the fact that who wants to be that available? You know,
Yeah,
not totally surprising. And, of course, you know, he's successful enough that he can call those shots.
Yeah, they said they would have to like borrow like a cell phone or something like that.
Yeah,
when he was on set,
good.
They wanted to reach him.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Pretty interesting story.
Well, I don't carry a cell phone. I refuse. You know, but remember my days in engineering and stuff like that is days going back to when you had a beeper and people could beep
right.
you for. So I thought, why do I want a cell phone? I don't want to be that easy to reach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
So
pretty
yeah.
good. Yeah.
I good for him. I'm all in
yep.
favor of it.
Are you coming up to the news? I'll call back later.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you. And we're about
okay.
15 minutes late starting tomorrow because of basketball, but then we'll be on after
okay,
that.
Okay, thank you for the heads
okay,
up.
Okay, thanks. All right,
okay.
Talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Yep.
All right, so on that note, we'll get to Boyer after the news. And Cindy, a new peppermint patty milkshake. Why does that sound hideous? All right, Jim in New Hampshire and Jim in Richmond. All right, so, and there's still room for you here on WGN Radio. James, and that's Chicago doo-wop for sure on Parrot Records. That was Al Benson's label. Yeah, Arthur Lehner, a.k.a. Al Benson. So he owned it at that point. He sold it a year later, but in 55, it was big. And so were the Orchids, obviously, and that was the Orchids and Newlyweds, and that, of course, is a Sgt. Pepper release. And so so who was in the Orchids? Let me think. Gilbert Warren was one of them. I should have looked this up early, but I know that know he was, and Hubert White. There are some other guys, too, obviously. All right, I guess I didn't do the Orchids justice, so maybe I'll have to play Your Everything to Me in the future. But that was for Sergeant Pepe, Newlywed. It's a flip of Your Everything to Me, 1955. And then You Said You Love Me. That was another flip that the Orchids did in 55 on Parrot. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh Boyer is in Nashville. What's up, Boyer?
Hello, hello.
Well, you waited.
I'm not a fan of the maple-flavored bacon.
Oh,
I mean, I love bacon, but...
Yeah. The maple kind, yes.
No, not that. But thank you so much for playing The World of Surprise. I think that's one of the best country songs ever. And what's really cool, it was jukebox ready. I think it's 2 minutes and 20 seconds, maybe.
It was short. You're right. You're right. Now,
it's shorty.
Of course, I'd go for Only Daddy Will Walk the Line, but that's just me.
I know. That's great. There's a bunch of great Waylon. Yeah. So I have an idea for you. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. I'm going to call it the cheesy cheese.
Okay.
So you played Whitney Houston earlier, and you weren't crazy about it, but you said you liked it.
No, that's the only one by her I like, and I do like that song, but it's the only one.
Okay, so I want to throw out something for you, and you get to pick. Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway.
Oh, you are my love, you are my heaven. Absolutely, that's it. You Are My Heaven is the best.
You pick one and you play it.
That's it. You Are My Love, You Are My Heaven.
All right.
You'll
play it tomorrow. Maybe you'll play it tonight.
No, I'll play it tomorrow night, and I will, because it is one of my all-time favorite records.
Okay, well, that's it.
All right. Love
you.
Good deal,
and
thanks.
I'll call you back.
Okay, good.
Okay,
I'm counting on it. Thanks. Yeah, You Are My Heaven. I've told this story before, but I had this promotion when I was in Denver where I had to drive to San Diego. It was like a Super Bowl deal. But anyway, they handed me a phone, and this is like 1988. And I looked at them and I said, what do you want me to do? Well, call in. I said, you do understand the route? Yes. I said, you do know there are no cells? Oh. Right, so I used phone booths across the country and did. But unfortunately, it was a last-minute thing. That they thought their morning man was going to do it, and he balked. He said, I'm not doing it. So they figured, well, Raleigh will do it. She'll drive anywhere, and they were right about that. And so I did. But all I had with me was one cassette, and there were only two songs on it. All right, it was in my purse because I'd been listening to it previously. Never thought I'd be hearing it for 48 hours, but You Are My Heaven was one of them, and the other was Oh No, Not My Baby. And as a testament to both of those records is I still like them after all that time. So 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. All right, so who's been hanging out? Jeffrey and all, let's see, and also, Jeffrey, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Okay, I want to tell you something because I want to give hope to a lot of people. When I was 15 years old, I had a reading level of a third grader.
Okay.
And I had two concussions, and they couldn't help me. I mean, so what I did was I picked up subjects myself that I loved and got the books out and started reading them. And I spent a whole year reading everything I could get my hands on. And I increased my reading score from the third grade to the 11th grade in 1 year.
That's terrific.
And I'm bringing this up because I just heard on the radio, they said the average reading score is the sixth grade. And I think that's ridiculous.
Well,
it's not in this country.
It's going down, and this is one of the real worries because, you know, for years, teachers were worried that kids wouldn't be able to learn grammar and all that. All they were doing was texting. Well, unfortunately, now kids are no longer texting with a key, with keys. They're doing it by dictating the audio. They are speaking it. They are not writing it. And so you have an entire generation of kids who are not writing.
Well, that's the thing that upsets me, because I'll tell you something, reading is wonderful.
Of course it is.
And if you can get a child, because, you see, they couldn't teach me. I had to teach myself. And I think what you have to do is put 100 books in front of them and say, if there's anything you hear you like, read it. Well, tell me about it.
Right. And, you know, that's really the key, is having a book that will capture the imagination. And, you know, the most recent, it's been decades now, but everybody was shocked when kids were all reading Harry Potter, and they were reading it. And that's because the subject matter was such that they were interested. So, unfortunately...
Well, they can still do that, though.
Well, if there's a dearth of material now, the kids aren't as interested.
Well, there's always something. There's always something that will catch your eye. Like if you love monsters, or if you love science fiction, or there's something out there that you would fall in love with to read. Once you get hooked, you never get enough of it.
Well, and, I agree. Good luck on getting them to do it, but I agree.
Well, I was determined to learn how to read because, you know, it cost me. I had to drop out of high school because I couldn't read.
Right.
And I got my GED later on, and I passed it the first time. And a lot of kids I knew that were my age weren't passing it.
Right.
And I said, and a GED, by the way, is mostly I'd say 75% of it is reading. So if you can just read pretty well, you can pass that test. That's not a problem. And so I still think it's not hopeless. I think that you just got to inspire the kids to say, hey, do you love monsters? If you love this subject or that subject, read it and tell me about it. You know, and before you know it, I think the scores in this would vastly increase in this country. But you just got to catch the desire of what they love to read.
Well,
I don't know if they teach that in school.
No, they really don't. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. Just like the horrible state of arithmetic, let alone mathematics, they don't teach it in a way that is relatable and fun. And it could be taught that way, but it's not.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you about it, because like I said, I went 7 grades in 1 year.
Yeah, because you were interested.
And the reason I'm telling you this is that because I originally, when I took the test, the reading equivalency test, I was 3rd grade.
Yeah.
And I went back a year later and I took that same test and it was 11.4.
That's great.
And they looked at me and they said, you know, we only go as high as 12.1. We don't go any higher. And I looked at them. I said, what do you mean? That's only like the first year of college. And they said, well, that's as high as we go.
Yeah.
So they said, you know, if you want to, just keep reading and you'll probably catch up. I don't know if I ever have, but I still never stop and put down a book because, you know, the books, you can watch the movies and everything else. But there are some people, when they write their books, they're so good at it.
Right.
It's like you're there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. The power of the imagination is so much greater than anything Hollywood could do. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you something. There was a book about a combat pilot, and the reason I only bring him up is because, you know, when he gets in it's World War One, and he gets in the plane, and he describes everything he does, and it's almost like you're in the plane beside him. And he was a German aviator. They translated it in English. Mm-hmm. But it was such an outstanding book that that's another one of the books that got me hooked. Because, you know, imagine, you know, you're sitting in a fighter plane in 1918 and you're there. I mean, this guy really could write. And that's why kids should be able to do the same thing. Find a book, you know, the teacher should just say, hey, you're going to, you know, I want you to just pick out a book that you really like on a subject and read it.
Yep.
And tell me about it. Again, I know I repeated myself, but we could change this around overnight if we really dedicated ourselves just a little bit. I think we could do a great deal. But anyway, I just thought I'd let you know about it.
And I'm delighted you did.
Yeah, well, I hope that other people get an idea because, like I said, I was shocked when they told me I was 11.4.
Yeah.
And it took 1 year. And after that, I just kept going. I just kept reading.
Good.
And I love movies and the computer and everything, but there's nothing else that could replace a book.
All right.
That's why I hope that the teachers will work with the computers, but set the computers aside a little bit and get out some books again, for Christ's sake, and read them.
All right.
Because, you know, Anyway, I'm going to get going. But
thanks
thank
for calling,
for
Jeffrey. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So 888-876-5593. Yes, I'm all for reading for a lot of reasons, obviously. We'll get to Jim in Richmond. We got Jim in New Hampshire. We got Sam in Gurnee and Cindy in Chicago. And there's room for you, too, if you'd like to call on WGN Radio.
Can I come over tonight? Darling, let me tonight, please don't say it too late, for darling, I can't wait to see you again. Oh, please let me kiss you tonight.
The Velours on Onyx, and that was a flip side in 1957. Can I Come Over Tonight was the flip of Where There's a Will, There's a Way, but so many wonderful records by the Velours. And of course, Sergeant Pappy requested that, and I think Remember, probably my favorite. Or maybe Can I Walk You Home? I don't know. Well, they're all good. All right, so 888-876-5593, insurance problems with Jim. What's up, Jim? Welcome.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Always.
I wanted to let you know about my back.
Tell me.
Friday when we were at the grocery store, walking through the store, I was in tremendous pain, but I didn't want to let on to her because, you know, my friend.
Yeah.
And so we bought Salon patches, and we put them on the part where I think I fell on it, and then a little bit higher, and then she puts them on my shoulders. Because she said I'm full of fluid, so then that was on Friday. On Saturday, tried to take the patches off and I couldn't reach them. So then she came over and she put new patches on, and I was telling her, "Boy, does my back feel, you know, 50% better?" And then so that was Saturday, and then on Sunday I peeled them off because you're not supposed to keep them on for so long. And then Monday, she drove me to her house and gave me a massage. And she said, "You are so full of fluid, lymphids," I think she said, lymphatics or something.
Yeah, the lymphatic system, sure. So now,
right.
But why? I mean, that's interesting. Why?
Because she says, "I don't do anything. I don't, you know, I used to work and I used to skate and all that kind of stuff." And she goes, "You don't do anything anymore. You just, you know." So anyways, she gave me a thorough massage because she's an expert at it. And she did all that. And then when she was rubbing my back, when she got to my back on my left side, and I go, "Boy, that rib still hurts." And she goes, "That's not your rib. Your rib is up here." She said, "That's your kidney."
Oh, no.
And while she was massaging me, it was the kidney that hurt. And boy, did it hurt when she got on that spot. So I don't know if I had landed on the kidney, you know. But, oh, I forgot to say, when she looked at it Friday to put the patch on, she said it was, I had yellow on my back. So it,
right,
you know,
that's
I might have had a black and blue.
Right, the bruising.
Right. And she said Saturday the bruising was gone after the patches. So I'm doing really well with that right now. I'm getting along with that. But I wanted to tell you about this insurance thing.
Yeah, what's happening?
Recently, My brother and I went to the lawyer and had the beneficiaries changed. Mm-hmm. And then he mailed it from the lawyer's office because it was simpler there. And so today I get a phone call from a guy said he's representing the insurance company. So at first I go, yeah, I don't think so. And then he goes on, he goes, yeah, I just got assigned your case.
Mm-mm.
So I said, okay, then tell me, did you get the change of beneficiary? He goes, I just got your case. It doesn't say, you need to fill me in about all this stuff.
Mm-mm.
And I go, what do you mean? So he goes, I go, what's the name of my last agent? And he says, I have to go on the computer. And he's on the computer. He comes back, well, your last agent was in 2008. And that's when my friend's daughter sold me the policy back in 2008, but I didn't let on to that. So then he goes, I want to meet with you. I want to come out and meet with you. I go, I'm not doing anything unless my power of attorney is there. So I just wanted to, you know, because I don't know if this is, if you're stealing my identity. And he goes, well, No, I just want to come, you know, and then go over a few things and then, you know, stuff like that. And I'm going, you know, I was very suspicious. And I go, well, I'm going to have to let you know. Well, I'll be in Delavan on Wednesday. I mean, on Thursday, I could come out. And I go, no. And then, so then finally I left it that way. And then I called up the girl that sold me the policy and she goes, yeah, he says they just handed me my case, and he said he's been there 1 year. And she goes, he's just trying to sell you a policy because they work on commission.
Of course they do.
And I go,
hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. All right. So I think there's good news in that. He's probably not being scammed, but yeah, probably being pressured. We'll talk more with Jim. And we also have Jim in New Hampshire and Cindy and Sam and maybe you coming up. But right now we got the news on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. The Sergeant Pappy wanted the five discs, Never Let You Go, 1962 on Cheer, a doo-wop group from Brooklyn. And they were interesting because they were virtually on a different label for every record. They started out on Vic, which is an RCA subsidiary, and they went to Callow and Duane and Yale, and these are all independent little labels, and then Cheer, one record on Cheer. Then they actually had one on Laurie, at least you've heard of it, and that pretty much, they were then on Crystal Ball, and I don't know much about about Crystal Ball. We're now getting into the latter 70s. I think they were mostly a reissue. I think it was Ed Engel who had that. So it was a reissuing of other labels. But as far as when they were actively releasing records, literally it was a different label every release. Yeah, they had something on Chief too. I mean, you name it. So I don't know. I don't know what it was with the five discs, but certainly Never Let You Go was a great record. So that's for Sergeant Pappy. All right, 888-876-5593. We're talking with Jim in Richmond. Yeah, what you're saying so far is, I agree, it sounds more like it's not someone scamming you as someone who wants to try and sell you something.
Right, and I talked to, like I said, the people close to me, and they all say, don't meet with him.
Right.
And so tomorrow I'm texting him. I said, I don't want to meet with you. And he's going to say, I just want to give you my, I'm going to say, give me my car, mail it.
Right.
You want to give me your car, mail it.
Exactly right.
And then I won't be too much longer. I just want to ask you a question.
Sure.
He said I had a couple of policies. I only have one. So it got me curious. You know, my situation, could my ex-wife take out an insurance policy on me?
Without
me knowing it?
No, as far as taking one out after the fact, I don't think it would be easy. But the question is, was there a policy that might have been in force that you forgot about while you were married that she continues to own?
She got that. I had it since I was a teenager. And in a divorce, her lawyer demanded that I turn over the cash from that, and it was like $8,800.
Okay, all right, so they
got all that.
Right, but they cashed it out rather than continued it.
Right.
Okay.
So that's why, and that was Prudential, so that's not who I have
right,
now. So I just wanted to know if she could do that. Because I told you after the divorce, she took out three credit cards in my name.
Yes.
And then just to get the credit, you know, so... That's why, and then she canceled them as soon as she got them.
Here's the deal, normally. So the short answer is no. But of course, when you're talking about fraud, God only knows what someone has said. But normally, if you're trying to get a life insurance policy for somebody else, you want to own the policy and you're insuring somebody else, the first thing you have to do is prove insurable interest. In other words, you've got to show that, you know, you're involved in the equation. After that, you have to show that you have the consent from the person you're trying to insure. So I'm hedging my bet in terms of, could she? Well, I guess it is possible if she attested that that you were aware, and if she claimed she had an insurable interest, then you know. But the other thing is things like NAIC. You can find out if there's any life policies on you.
Right, and I said, because of the person that's going to take care of everything after I pass, I'm going to make sure they put a lockdown that nobody can get the death certificate, because that's what you need for the policy.
Right. So. I would assume that for a reputable insurance company, they would demand that you sign something. Now, you know your ex-wife, I don't. Would she go so far as to forge it?
Yeah, that's what she did with the credit cards.
Well, then when you're talking about somebody who is going to be larcenous, well, all bets are off. The laws are simple. you know, the laws are simple. You would have to know, and they would have to have an insurable interest. But if they're engaging in a web of deceit, anything's possible. So that's why you might want to check with, NAIC to find out, are there any life insurance on you out there? They apparently have a free life insurance tool at, in fact, I think Fidelity Life has one right here. So, five ways to find someone's life insurance policies. And of course, in your case, I'm looking at the free locator from NAIC. They want to confirm I'm human. Well, I'm human. Now I have to look at what? Let's see. Hats. I have to check off hats. This is harder than you'd think. All right. So I think those are the only hats. So incorrect. Try again. Well, there's another hat here? I don't think that's a hat. I think that's a chair. Curtains. Okay. I can probably do curtains better than that. All right. Let's try curtains. All right. There. Okay. Success. I'm going to be redirected. Okay. The NAIC policy locator can assist you as consumers in locating life insurance policies and annuity contracts of a deceased family member or close relationship. Well, of course, you're not either of that, but when they receive a request, what you want is for them to be able to find out if there are any participating companies that have you as, you know, as the insured. So, yeah, right. I would think your insurance agent probably could check that for you.
That's the one I don't want to talk to.
Okay. All right. Right. Well, this person who says they're your agent, if you don't want them, you can ask for another agent.
Right. And I'm going to call the insurance company itself because I haven't heard back whether they got my form letter that was mailed in. So that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to ask him, does this guy work for you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, and also say I don't like his tactics, I want somebody else.
Right, and I thank you very much.
Yeah, let me know how that goes. I'd be curious. Now, by the way, if in the event you actually found that she had committed fraud, that's actionable.
Yeah. Yes, and that's why I'm glad I have a lawyer now.
Yes, yes. So, in fact, the lawyer can probably do that as well. If you really think that based on her previous behavior that she's going to be a larcenous, it's probably good to check that out. Now, right. The other side of that is if she did it fairly recently, it'd be pretty expensive to insure you, Jim. And plus insure you without a health check, you know, that's not much of a policy.
Right. You know, I'm just curious. That's all.
Yeah. I don't think it's possible again if she's a larcenous, but I don't think it's in her benefit because she couldn't take out a big policy because you would have to be underwritten.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't pass.
Because they have those commercials for Colonial Penn.
Oh, no, yeah. Right. But that, come on. $15,000. What do you care? I think you're talking about sizable policies. Like, does she get $100,000 or $300,000 or $1 million? They got,
right.
There is underwriting in such a thing like that. If you're talking about these policies that pay for your for your final burial or whatever, $7,000, $10,000, $15,000, who the hell cares? You know, it's too little to give a darn about.
Right. So I thank you very much.
Right.
I don't want to take up any more of your time.
Okay, good deal.
And I hope you and John have a wonderful evening.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Airports years ago used to have these kiosks where you could buy flight insurance before a flight. Oh, yeah. A lot of horrible practical jokes with that, I'm embarrassed to admit. But, yeah, just thinking a few of them. All right. But so let's just move right along and go to Sam and Gurney. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello?
Yes. Hello. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. What's happening?
Well, you crack me up. I'm calling because I initially plugged in because I talked to John because I had an answer for something, but the wait has been so long that I kind of fell asleep in between, but I thought I'm going to hang on there and see if I can request from Raleigh a song for my granddaughter. Maybe you could play something from Greece for her.
From Greece, okay. I'll try to find something.
I'm not choosing. Her name is Emery. She's a beautiful 6-year-old, beautiful granddaughter.
All right.
And I initially called because I was responding to something else that you were talking about, but I grew so tired, and I guess that's part of getting old, right?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, you've given me a chore here because there are 24 songs, and I'm going to have to listen to all of them to see which one of them I'm willing to play.
Well, is there one called Grease?
Well, you don't want me to play that. That's just terrible.
Well, how about something by Jim Jacobs?
And by the way, there is something. The Grease song is actually the Four Seasons, believe it or not. But I don't know. Yeah. But
I saw them live a few years ago at Ravinia. They were wonderful. And Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. And I know he's old, and there were people that were complaining about his appearance, but I thought it was profound just that he'd still get out there and do his thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And who cares what he looks like? It's what he sounds like. And from what I understand, he still sounds pretty good.
Oh, he sounded very good. And
yeah.
And no, but for his age, I thought he looked good for his age. I mean, heck, he's been through a lot. You know, I mean, if I understood it right, in his earlier times, he was like overtaken, kind of like Billy Joel. He was overtaken by some of his bookkeepers and really treated bad financially. He was torn to pieces, and then he rebuilt.
Yeah, which unfortunately is such a common theme among these guys, because they're not businessmen and it's easy to take advantage of them. And also, Frankie had somewhat of an acting career also. He was in Miami Vice and some other things. He played something in The Sopranos, which is perfect for him. And
Didn't know that.
He did one of the episodes of Hawaii Five-0 and all that kind of stuff. So, in fact, when he did Hawaii Five-0, that was like 2014, and he played against Carol Burnett. And
oh my goodness.
Yeah, he was a lawyer who was engaged to Carol Burnett. Her character was Aunt Deb. So you can
My goodness.
Yeah. So you can see that. And yeah, he's got about four marriages behind him as far as that goes, and he has a horrible hearing problem. But hey, he's still out there all the time. Good for him.
Well, that's the one thing I love about your show is I always learn stuff, and I'm constantly listening because I learn from you, and I appreciate it very much, you and John both. If you could play something for my little granddaughter, Emmy.
Emmy, okay.
I promise I'll play it for her.
Okay, we'll do it. Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bless you.
So now I have to find out what a 4-year-old or a 6-year-old would like. All right. Well, I can probably do that. We've got one more bumper to take care of and commercial break, and then we've got Cindy and Jim, and then of course tomorrow night we'll be about 15 minutes late, assuming that because it's not Blackhawks, it's basketball, and so Northwestern Wildcats, and so we assume they will end, and I will be on at 10:15. But you know, stay tuned. You'll want to know about that. Also, the new moon. Don't forget this tomorrow morning at 6:35 a.m. So if you're writing your prosperity checks and you know how to do that, no money or anything. It's not that. But if you're writing them, I'd say write them tonight before you go to sleep, unless you're a very very early riser. So that 6:35. In the morning, tomorrow morning, for the new moon. And that, of course, I think will make it official that it's Chinese New Year. So the year of the snake. All right, so that's where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Riley James, and that was the other request that Mary in Oak Lawn had. Yes, for Taylor Dayne, I'll Always Love You. I think that's the only Taylor Dayne song I'd be willing to play. The worst part of fulfilling your request is having to hear what some of them sound like, but we lucked out on Taylor Dayne and the one Whitney Houston record that I like. All right, and that's it. That's a total one. All right, so we have, let's see, Jim in New Hampshire. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello there, Riley.
What's
you
happening?
Doing?
You tell me.
I tell you. Well, I could, I like that song by Taylor Dayne, too. It's sort of, kind of reminds me of when I used to catch all my children at noon every day on ABC TV.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, one of the characters kind of liked to play that, you know.
Oh, who was the character?
I think it was... it was the gal that played, I can't think of her name right now, but it was later on in the series.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, it was later on. It wasn't the gal that played Tara. Okay. Stephanie Braxton, I think was her name.
All right. So it wasn't like Silver Cane or one of those things?
No. It wasn't Silver Cane or Lars Bogart or any.
All right.
Who wound up getting killed, I believe.
That's
show.
Good for soap operas, absolutely. Doesn't help the actor any, but it's great for soap operas.
It's great for the soaps, yeah. And, you know, that is a show that really hit rock bottom. You knew they were about to cancel it. I mean, it was kind of obvious there at the end. And, you know, everything like that, you know.
Well, I only saw television when I worked at a radio station that had a television in the lobby, right? That kind of thing.
Oh, sure.
And so
sure.
As far as soap operas, but I will say that the soap opera that was on after All My Children, One Life to Live.
Oh, yes.
There was a guy in there who I think was an unbelievably good actor, and it was David Canary, who played
the
businessman and his brother. And
Adam and Stewart.
Right. I saw that a couple times, and I thought, damn, this guy is so good. What is he? And, you know, I looked him up and realized he did other stuff. But what it came down to, and sadly he's no longer with us, is that this was a way he could have a 9-to-5 job and a decent life and go home every night. So
exactly. Sure. So kudos to him.
Yeah, absolutely. But he was so much better than anybody else on that show. I mean, it was just startling how good
he was. Good gosh. Yes, he was. And, you know, I just the fact that he was playing both brothers.
Right, and couldn't be more different. You know, one brother was damn near retarded, and the other one was just a hardcore businessman, and it was just I remember that. I was very impressed, and so I was kind of kept up with what's he doing, and he died about 10 years ago. He had dementia. Yeah, he was only 77 when he died, and he was in an assisted living facility because he'd had dementia for years.
And I, to see, I ran across a few episodes of him on, it was one of the Bonanza shows.
Right. That was early on. He absolutely did those things. He was a Candy Canada. He was a ranch foreman.
Yes, he was. And, oh, man. something I was going to mention, when I was in Chicago, there was a station in Chicago Heights that was a sun up to sun downer. And they were WMPP.
Okay.
And whenever they would do one of their, record hop commercials or something, and I don't know if you could ever find this, it's a request kind of thing that maybe you could find. I think you could find Cleo's Back by, I think it was, Junior Walker and the All-Stars. I almost forgot.
Well, okay, I will find it. I will play it tomorrow night, and you have just ended the show.
Okay, cool.
Okay, thanks. Alrighty. Appreciate it. All right. Apologies to Cindy. We'll do it again tomorrow, right after the game. Until then, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. I will get to that third-party retail company that is tracking your return. Sorry I didn't do that tonight, but we will tomorrow night, I hope. And until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.